Hello, welcome. This is Sifu Perhax, and I'd like to welcome you to this call. This is another interview call that we're going to be talking to one of our certified instructors, and this is actually going to be part two of our call with Sifu Charles Dragoo. And I've got Sifu Jones on the line and Sifu Dragoo on the line with me. And so I'm going to hand this over to Sifu Jones, and he's going to kind of fill us in on what's happening and how we're going to take care of the next part of this interview. Sifu Jones?
Okay. Yeah, great. How's everybody going? What normally happens, you know, like we put it down as technical difficulties, but a lot of times what is happening here is, like, as you build up your chi, and this energy gets stronger and stronger, you do have a tendency to, like, overload phone lines, that kind of thing. A lot of times if you have a battery phone, it will get zapped out by the energy that you're putting off, and a lot of times that's exactly what happens in these type of phone calls and stuff, and that's what happened in this case. A lot of times when you hear little, like, lapses of voices on the MP3s, it's a case that we overloaded the phone line and that part didn't get picked up, and it happens quite frequently to Qi guys. And, you know, just wait a while from doing these exercises. When that starts happening to yourself, you'll understand that that's a result of doing these type of exercises, and this is very normal to things that happen with Qi guys. But, you know, that's kind of what happened to us there, and so we'll go back into kind of where we left off. And we were doing an interview with Charles Dragoo, and he was kind of explaining how he's done his Qi over the years. And what I wanted to kind of go over is, like, because you really have trained with some of the best guys in the world when it comes to, like, doing Qi, guys that have been around for years, that have, you know, wrote books, that have been interviewed in some of the bigger magazines, martial arts magazines and stuff. And I would, you know, could you kind of explain some of the people that, you know, at least some of the more famous ones that you've kind of worked out with?
I sure can. Let me begin by saying that for many years I privately trained with Jane Hallander. I, on two occasions, got a chance to meet her in person. But for the most part, a lot of our training took place through correspondence. But it was really good training. Now, on one of the occasions, I went out to California to actually meet with Ms. Hallander. I was able to meet Madam Yu. And that's another person I'm going to speak about in a minute. But Jane Hallander's training regimen was really based in the Yi Chuan practices of energy cultivation. And her system was, how can I actually explain it to you? It was based on standing meditation, but it was also based on breath manipulation along with body movement. And I did learn a complete system of Yi Chuan from her because I wanted to get the most out of any type of Qigong practice, you know. So, and she did have some abilities, but in the beginning, back in '86 when I first read about her, a magazine article was published. It was talking about Yi Chuan and how dangerous this Qi projection is and how it can actually be used against an attacker with no physical contact. But many years later, she rewrote the article stating that it was really not useful in a self-defense situation. I really don't know the reason for that, but I can personally attest that her energy was... it was very powerful. Her projection abilities were powerful, but just like mine at the time, were very limited. Not trying to knock anybody, but when you practice Yi Chuan, when you're stuck practicing this type of energy cultivation, you go as far as, I guess, what the teacher tells you, what they program you to actually achieve. The way she was taught was, you know, you can reach a certain level of ability projecting force outward to repel an attacker or pulling force in to store within the body. But that's just two things that can be accomplished, two of many unlimited things. There are so many other things that can be accomplished by doing Qigong training if you do it the right way.
Like, she was actually doing that kind of that battery build-up and storing the energy in like, particular areas then, right?
That's correct. She did a lot of focusing on Of course, you know, packing the qi down, the lower down tien, and also having the energy focus in the area of the ming mun point right there at the base of the spine, or at the small of the back. So, I mean, that's really not good for the kidneys if you store too much qi there. You know, it can really cause the kidneys to overheat and cause the adrenal glands to release adrenaline just all the time, which is not good for the body. Cortisol is released into the system. You gain weight, and there are so many other negative side effects from focusing qi in that particular area.
Right, right. It actually, the cortisol is that stress hormone that, you know, causes you so many different problems. And and it is a direct result of the pressure from doing the qi in that particular manner. You know, that is one of the problems with breasts is that, you know, it does kick off, you know, the unwanted hormones too. So, you know, another reason why we don't really do it in our system so much. You know, we go with the body breathing. But, you know, I mean, you did meet these people that did get very effective use out of doing these type of exercises, though, huh?
Well, they did. They used it as a tool, for the most part, to gauge how much qi another person or another student was able to generate or pack around the body. You know, when your protective field is up, when your qi is thick around the body, pathogens really can't get in. They have a hard time getting in and to invade the body. So that was a good thing. But the problem with packing the qi around the body like that and letting it just kind of stay there is that if you have a negative emotion, say you get angry with your spouse or the boss at work pushes your buttons and you become angry or you're sad or whatever, these emotions get trapped in and around the body. So when you have this big, thick field of qi around the body and it's just penetrating the body, it's coming from the inside out, you don't know how to do anything other than project in a linear manner. That energy, that emotion is going to get trapped in there. And if it's trapped, just this is an example, and this is not really chipped in stone, but let's just say you get some emotion trapped in the vicinity of the chest, right in front of the chest within the field. Later on down the road, if it's stuck, if it's there, it can cause you heart problems. It can cause the qi to become disrupted, the flow in the heart. And the same goes for any organ. So with that particular practice, I mean, you're just taught to generate and just store and pull it in and keep it close to the body. And so the qi really was inflexible. It was only linear. There was nothing more than linear motion in the mindset, so to speak.
So you would really get that roller coaster ride of like having a whole lot of energy at one time and then go down to the depths of having almost no energy at other times because of that linear fashion.
Yeah, and we're told, we weren't really explained in that manner. It was just, you know, it was really explained off as being biorhythms or whatever, but the truth is you can only store so much with that method. And when you release it, you have to rebuild. It's like a battery, like a rechargeable battery. Once you use it up, once you just use all of that energy up, you have to put it back. You have to recharge it because that's the way you're taught. That's the mindset. That's the belief that you have about that training. So that's what it's going to be. And so, it is effective to a certain degree, but for the long haul, it's not recommended if you want to achieve greater things. You know, it's a good starting point, I mean, for hardcore people.
Exactly. Like, she wrote a lot of articles for Inside Kung Fu magazine and different books and stuff, and she had a direct relationship with that Madame Yu too, didn't she?
She sure did. She actually was the adopted daughter of Madame Yu. She started training with the Yus back in the early 80s. Jane Howlander trained in Tai Chi and various other arts beforehand, but when she met the Yus, they actually came over to California to be put to the test. Peng Siyo, which was the husband of Madame Yu, I think they called him over to Stanford University to run some tests on him and his healing abilities with the qi. And so once they got over here, they liked it, so they stayed. So Punk Seo was teaching on a regular basis, and he taught the entire system to Madam Yu, and her name is Minho Yang. And I had a chance to go out and meet her, and the first day I went to meet her, she didn't let me in her class. So I wondered why. I didn't know why. And I later found out that she didn't want me around because of the way my chi was. I was just too, how should I put it, I was too young. She knew that I was overloaded. And so before I could actually go in there, I'd have to have my chi channels tapped open. Now, usually you don't get your channels tapped open until you've had, you know, 5 or more years of standing meditation under your belt, under a qualified instructor.
Now, but, explain what that actually means when you tap open a person like that, for people
well,
who've never heard that expression.
Okay, if, for you people out there that have never heard of the expression tapping open the chi channels, to say the word tap is an understatement, so it's more like... It's more like taking a, I'll explain the process, but it's more like taking a jackhammer and jackhammering open your chi channels. It's very painful. What it is the master, the Qigong master, will actually project his or her energy at you and forcefully open with the chi your channels, forcefully opening your chi channels with their chi. And it's a very painful process if you have blockages. It was painful for me because I had several blockages. You will feel the pain for days. Some people have complained for weeks and months.
And for months, literally.
Yes. So they do it from the front and the back, and they take the chi through your body, and it takes a while, and you're standing there, and you're having this chi blasted through your system, and you get all these visual effects as well. You know, like light bursting in your skull and just other things. And at the time, I guess you'd feel like it was a spiritual thing, but really, now that I look back at it, it was just the result of these chi channels just busting open, these blockages busting open. And it really was putting stress and strain on my organs at the time. But after I was open, a couple of days later, I got a chance to be around her. She did some demonstrations, and some of them were having me run at her. Couldn't get near her, couldn't touch her. Nobody could touch her in the class unless she allowed them. It was very powerful. But again, it was a linear experience. It was the power would stop at a certain level, and there was nothing beyond that. You know, it's hard to really explain that, but I felt the full force of her power. But I knew that there could be a greater level or a higher level and more to it. And that's what prompted me to train very, very hard and try to look at different methods and try different things and, you know, become very, very yang at the same time. I thought that by training more and training harder, the no pain, no gain mentality, I thought that I would achieve greater results than she had or what Jane Hollander possessed, and also Richard Mooney and Paul Dong. But that's not the answer.
No, it really isn't. It is like the more you found that the harder you trained, just the more pain that was coming out, huh?
The harder I trained, the more it put me behind because I was constantly injuring myself. Now, when I say constantly injuring myself, I don't mean injuring myself on a noticeable level every single day. But it was set me back. There was a point in time where, I guess intuitively, I let go. And what I mean by that is I let go of everything that I believed in and everything that I felt physically. I relaxed down. And without actually trying to do anything, I achieved the greatest results. And I didn't know at the time that that's sort of being yin. But then, since I didn't feel like I was accomplishing anything, my ego jumped in the way and said, listen, you know, you're not accomplishing anything because you don't feel any results. You don't feel anything. Before, when I was practicing the empty force, I would feel chi coming out of my hands. I would feel this energy radiate out of my eyes, out of my body, out of my feet, everything. But that's that's how I thought, you know, I was getting results. I thought I was getting results because I felt the stuff coming out. But I later realized that I was feeling these buzzing sensations coming out of my hands, these pulsing sensations, because I had blockages. Now, when I do projection now, I don't feel anything. I feel absolutely nothing but get the results. I let go, I intend it, and it happens with no effort on my part.
Yeah, that's the hardest thing for people to really understand. And I know for you and me both, it was that was the biggest, hardest thing to understand, that this isn't a physical thing. It really is a mind thing. You know, you can try as much as you want to project out in a physical way and just grunt it out of your body, and it's just not going to happen, is it?
It's not going to happen at all. You might get something come out in what I would equate to like an ounce of water squirting out of a high-powered hose. After the ounce is gone quickly, there's nothing left. But when you're effortless, when you give up the physical, when you come to actually realize, I'm going to erase the word physical for now. Let's replace physical with energetic. So when you realize that everything in this world, you, me, everything is just pure energy, and you realize that your mind is not in your brain, your mind, it's all over your body and in your body, so your mind creates this body, because this body's energy, your mind's energy, everything's energy, and you learn to let go and trust that, you keep breaking away the layers, you keep peeling the layers away until you come to pure consciousness, and everything comes from pure consciousness. So when you intend something, when you're very in, and you just intend it, the intention came from the consciousness, the pure universal consciousness, and it created something else, created this energy, this effortless thing. So when you learn to let go, when you learn to relax your energy body, your entire body, the energy, the structure that it is, pure energy, condensed or stabilized light, then things happen. But if you force the issue, it just totally freezes things up. You don't get any results.
Now, give us an example of, like, something that you did when you first got started. Is like, when was the first time that you really noticed, like, you could actually move something? Or, you know, I mean, like what kind of thing did you try to move?
Well, actually, to begin with, I started doing the Qi Power training with your course, actually, when I was 15 years old. And that was 20 years ago.
Right.
So, of course, I was projecting, you know, with the straw. That was the easiest thing because it wasn't resting on a table.
Right, now, taking out the gravitational pull type of deal.
Right. So I was moving around a straw relatively easy after a couple weeks of training. But after that, I trained hard, very, very hard, and did everything. And I'm going to say 6 months later, maybe 8 months, it wasn't a year, I had taken a straw and set it on a table. And I felt, at the time, I was ready. You know, here I am, this hardcore practitioner, I was ready. And so I focused, I got my focus like a laser beam, and I did everything I was supposed to do and projected. It came out. And it hit the straw, and the straw just zipped across the table. It didn't slowly move. It just flew across the table just one time. And then I tried it again, and I couldn't get anything to happen. And I tried, and I was becoming frustrated every day because I couldn't get it to happen. You know, it goes back to what we're talking about, quickly charging that battery up and then using it up quickly, and you don't have anything else to come out.
Right, and it is, that's very typical of, that was kind of similar to the way I first started, too. It's like, you know, you get it out that first time, you can do it that first time, and then you try to duplicate your efforts, and not even close. And a lot of it is that mind intent of getting it used to, like, seeing what you want to happen and for it to happen. And I think why you can do it that first time is not only it's like that battery buildup, and you're already expecting to release a certain amount of energy. So I think it's that expectation that you have in your head, too. And then when you try to go ahead and duplicate it again, you can't quite reach where you reached that first time.
That's right. Now, over the years, I moved all sorts of things. As my power grew and as I kind of, well, I didn't project at things all the time. After a while, in the beginning, I did. I think that by doing what I did in the beginning, constantly trying and trying and trying. I created an energetic pathway outside of myself and inside of myself. So when I did bring in the real power, it would actually flow in an easier manner. But again, I was still not getting the results. So I tried moving all sorts of things. I had great success. Bottle caps, pennies. I would take a penny and stand it, stand on its edge and focus for 2-3 minutes. It would fall. But then other strange things started happening when I just constantly build the pressure up in my body. I would be setting alarms off when I would walk into a Walmart. Open windows in the house would suddenly slam shut. I'd be walking and just suddenly turn, and a cup would fall over on the table. All these strange things started happening, but they were not under my conscious control.
Yeah, that's the weirdest thing about being on the yang side is, since you are on this yang side, you never know when this burst of energy is going to come out of you, and it may do just about anything, won't it?
It will, and let me tell you another thing. I was going in a department store, clothing store. It was called Peebles, to shop around for some Christmas presents, and as I walk through, the alarm sets off, and so the staff there, they're looking at me, and they're seeing if I have anything. I'm not carrying a bag in with a clothing item that they forgot to take the alarm tag off of. I have nothing on me. I have cash in my pocket and my wallet. And then they're asking me, well, why'd I set the alarm off? I tell them, I don't know. They had me walk through. I set it off again. They had me take my shoes off. I walk through. It sets it off again. Pull my wallet out, my money out, everything I have on me. I could constantly set this alarm off. So one of the guys said he read an article about very, you know, saying rare people with this magnetic field around the bodies that set off alarms. I didn't know at the time it was because I was so yang, but it was very embarrassing. So every time me and my wife would go to a department store, she would just whisper out loud, I hope you don't set the alarm off. I hope you don't set the alarm off because it's so embarrassing. So it would happen all the time. And I started settling down later last year and this year, so it's not really happening now, you know.
Yeah, when you get on the yin side, you like things like that start diminishing. You know, the things that are flying around you start stopping that. You know, it is weird. I mean, because you can just like things can be flying off at you or flying at people, and like you say, there's no control over that. It's just like pent up electricity that just like shoots out of your body on its own accord. It had nothing to do with you, just about, huh?
Right, and another downside to this being so yang and not having conscious control of this energy is that when you're a teacher like me and you have students that you're showing actual fighting techniques to and you're teaching them how to defend themselves, you hurt them on accident. It's like it's not even, you softly touch them and they're hurt. And so I've actually chased away a couple students as a result because they didn't want to feel that pain. One student forcefully, when we're doing an application, his goal was to hit me in the stomach. Of course, he achieved the goal, but it hurt him when he touched my stomach. It hurt him. He became sick. His arm was hurting. He was really weirded out by the experience. So that wasn't good for the students.
Yeah, it's really hard to maintain when you're at too much of a yang state. It's like you lose that control factor, because in your mind you're just barely touching anybody, and in their mind it's just like, wow, you know, don't rip my arm off, or, you know, I mean, they're seeing nothing but the electrical side that you're putting off, and you've yanged so much that you've kind of got used to it. You know, it's just like beating your fist on a rock. You know, after a while, it'll feel good, you know, because
mm-hmm.
of the endorphins that you'll get out of your body, but you lose all sensitivity whatsoever, you know, and you don't even realize the damage you're going to eventually cause your fist if you keep beating it, you know.
You do.
It's very similar. Like the inside of your body goes through all these different pain factors, and because you don't see the inside of yourself, you don't even realize the kind of damage you can cause to yourself, can you?
You cannot. And that's why in some iron palm training regimens, the legitimate iron palm training regimens, they have you actually prepare yourself for a very long time before each training session. When I say a very long time, 30 minutes to an hour is not long, according to some people, but it is long when it comes to hand conditioning. So you have to spend a good 30 minutes, let's just say at a minimum, preparing your mental and energy bodies, along with Ditanjiao, which is iron strike wine, to protect your hands, because every strike that you put, every time you land your hand on that iron shot, it will send an energy vibration, a pattern into the palm, which will work its way into your organs, into your interior. And another thing about being very yang, I just wanted to say this, put this in there, is that you lose the ability to listen, to hear the important things, to really perceive what's important. And so as a result, you push people away. And when there's a message for you, something important for you to hear, you miss it. It could be a message warning you, you know, letting you know you have to take a different route, and so on and so forth. So when you're very yang, you're really headed down a destructive path, destructive mentally and physically, that could ultimately end your life.
Yeah, and not only, but definitely you're going to get in arguments and fights, but, you know, it really can launch you into that kind of a deal where it could cost you your life or somebody else theirs simply because you're so far yanged out that you no longer can be sensitive to those things around you, huh?
That's true. As a matter of fact, being married, that's a good barometer, so to speak. You can tell by the relationship you have with your spouse whether or not you're yanging out or you're yin. And I didn't realize that until, of course, you know, you taught me that. You know, I didn't realize it was me really causing the problems that were there at the time. But it was me. It was because I was yanging out. I was pushing my wife away. I was pushing all my friends away, all of my potential students, and just everybody in public. People just didn't want to be around me. When I'd walk through a crowd, they would spread. They would just spread out just like they're a bunch of ants spreading out, you know? Or like if you drop a drop of dish soap in oily water, it just scatters out to the side. I mean, it was like that. And that's not good. That's really not good. I mean, you start thinking, what's wrong with me? You know, is there something wrong with me? Why am I pushing these people away? And you become more angry if you don't understand it. But I'm glad I became yin because everything's gotten better. Everything is perfect now. All it takes is a decision and the proper training method, and you can become yin. You don't need to feel something happening to get the results. That's what I want to let everyone know. You don't have to feel something happening for you to be getting the results. That is a big myth. That's a lie.
And in fact, the more you do feel too much happening, it takes away your sensitivity again. Isn't that true?
That is so true. It really does take your sensitivity away. You think if you feel something, well, my sensitivity is increasing, but it's not. It's actually numbing you. It's actually, you're becoming used to it. You're going to build a comfort zone. And as a result, you're going to stop feeling that, and you're going to want to feel more, so it's going to force you, wait a minute, I don't feel it anymore. I got to train harder. And then you're going to get into that no pain, no gain thing. And it's going to be a constant thing until you're going to be totally numb. You're going to be yanged out. You're not going to be able to go any further because of all the injuries, all the mental anguish. So, again, when you're doing your training, you will feel some things, but that's not the important thing. When it feels effortless, when it feels good, and peaceful and light, that is when you're getting the results. Not when you're
That's when this amount of energy will start coming out of you, when you can relax down enough. You can get incredible amounts of energy out of you, but that don't sound like it should be that way. I mean, you know, all our lives we're brought up with the fact that you got to do things in the heart, and there's okay, it hurts to live, you know. I mean, it hurts to you know, do work, it hurts to do this, it hurts to do that, and you just get this mentality that, okay, everything, to get anything good or to get any good, you know, that no pain, no gain is, you know, what we grew up with. So it's really hard to get that out of your mind and out of your psyche that this isn't the way you get electricity out of you. I mean, this chi comes out of you under the laws of electricity, and it has nothing to do with the physical part of you. Isn't that true?
That's true. You can't force electricity. Electricity, you can't force anything that's natural. The grass grows without any effort. The trees grow without any effort. Everything in nature is zero effort. The same should be with you. You're a part of nature. You're a part of this universe. So you should be effortless whenever you're doing your training. Now, when it comes to these, you have to train hard to make it. You have to train 2-3 hours a day, 4-5 hours a day. That's a belief. A belief. And when you believe something, you're going to get the results. If you believe that carrying a certain coin in your pocket is going to attract luck to you or good times, believe it or not, it's going to make it happen. But it's simply a belief. It's not a fact. It's a fact that you have a coin. A coin is a fact. It's concrete. But again, I mean, it's just simply a belief. If you change your beliefs, you'll get greater results.
And that's what it really is about, you know, is learning to do it more of in a specific way. The right things, the right method is the best way to go. I mean, you know, I always tell them, you know, you got to knock out your breaths. You got to knock out these sounds that, you know, people are touting is like, this is the way to get the incredible chi out of you. And it's just like, you really have taking all those breaths, you've taken all those sounds, you've done all that type of training. Now, did it really get incredible energy out of you that you could really use?
No, it got some energy out, but you know, I'm not going to say it was incredible because guess what? It wasn't permanent. So to me, if it's not permanent, if it was just an every now and again thing, not incredible because it wasn't lasting, it wasn't forever. And when you train in a yin fashion, when you become yin physically and mentally, when you combine the mind and the body in that unity where you're yin, everything, anything and everything is possible. Nothing is impossible. And it's lasting. It's forever. It feels like an eternity. It feels like a forever flow. It feels like you have it all and without any effort, zero effort.
And you get the control that you're looking for, because like I know you kind of went through that same deal like me, you know, in the beginning, you know, because you did it in the yang way. It came out in the destructive way. Like, I mean, if I was doing it at a glass or something, you know, most of the time it would break the glass, you know, whereas as you do it on the yin side, you know, you have the control that it won't necessarily when you get it under control, that is. I mean, when you first start doing the yin thing, you know, it just like everything's really slippery. So you may not have the control at first, you know, you're kind of finding that out, you know, up close and personal, but you know, you don't have that control at first, but, you know, over time, as you adjust with this relaxing attitude that you kind of develop doing these this yin style, you know, you really get the control that you need down, and that's the kind of what's cool about the yin side, whereas with the yang, I mean, it's more about power and less about control, isn't it?
It is. It's more about the power, and the focus is on the power or generating or creating the power. And again, what is the power? What is your perception of power? I mean, it's what teachers teach you. It's what you see on film. It's what you think it is. You know, so people get this idea from what they've watched or heard or even smelled. And it's like, that's how it's got to be. I have to do what they're doing to get this power. But see, what they don't see is that when you're yin, you have this inflow and outflow that's pretty much equalized. But when you're yang, you have this inflow, this input coming in, and the output is really not there, you know. So what's happening there is you, sometimes when you strain, you open the outflow, and all the stuff that's built up just escapes. It goes out. Then you're left flat or deflated. So you have to just do it over and over again. But when you're yin, everything around you, the earth, the air, all this energy that's in and around you and that you're a part of, just you flow with it and it flows with you. It's constant. It's never ending. It's always there. It's always there for you, but you have to remain yin. You have to be happy at all times. That's the key. You have to be that way. And doing the training that specific way, you're going to reap the benefits. You're going to be able to bear the fruits. You're going to show people. You're going to show yourself. And you don't have to feel the pains. You don't have to sweat it out. You don't have to prove anything to anybody. You know, it's not an ego thing. Once you let it all go, everything just happens. It just happens. And that's what's hard for people to understand, because the ego is always there. We all have the ego. The ego wants something to push onto. The ego wants something to latch onto. It wants to feel. It wants to trick you, basically, and say, well, if you're not doing it hard enough, you're not going to get any results. So
really, and that's what the biggest thing that I'm trying to get everybody to understand, that, yeah, you know, we know that you can actually get results doing it in the yang way. We both have gotten results doing it in the yang way. You know, it's the cause factor. It's the pain factor that's involved. And it's the fact that you can't keep that stuff up. You know, the fact is that you can get a strong, set of, let's say this chi will come out and it'll do something, extreme ability will come out of you, you'll be able to move something, but you can't keep it up, nor would you want to, because, like, as you get into this yang state to that extent, it's so hard to handle that. It just feels so weird, doesn't it? It just, when you get so yanged up, you know, you have to kind of get that energy out of you in the first place, because it's unlivable energy.
It is. It affects every person around you and everything around you. And when you're totally yanged up like that and you're inflated and you're the beast, you're this big fighting machine you want to be because, you know, you want to be all yang, what happens is, well, a yang person is easier to knock out than a yin person. So, you know, when you're yang, if you're just yanging out and a skilled fighter happens to tap you just one little good time, adding a little bit of yang to your yang, well, guess what? You explode. You knock out. You're done. I mean, it's not good to be yang. You know, it's really not good.
Do overload too easy, don't you, when you yang? I mean, the organs overload, and, you know, I mean, how far did you let it go? I mean, you went it actually into the liver before and at times touched on that heart, didn't you?
Oh, yeah. I was so yang. I'm physically healthy, but I was so yang that it was affecting my blood pressure levels. As a matter of fact, when I had to get a physical for a specific job working for the hospital system, they require a physical, and they check my blood pressure, and I was yang. I was healthy. I eat healthy. I do everything right. Never had a history of high blood pressure, but as a result, they wondered why I wasn't in a hospital because of how high my blood pressure was. So that was a big deal, you know, there. And not only that, I mean, being yang, really, it just affected my entire life. You know, just when you're yang, you push all of your resources away. You push all of the people that love you away. You're left with nothing at all. I mean, you can really lose it all. And I think when most people lose everything, I think they're yanging out. I mean, that may be my opinion right now, but I really think that's part of the reason.
If they're studying this type of method, huh? I mean, it really is a case. I mean, that's probably the biggest reason why, you know, I'm saying as many things about this stuff, is because we know, like, these nerve fiber buildups, you know, are going to get you there pretty quick. And so if you add in the mix, because let's face it, I mean, one of the big reasons why you got as good results as you've gotten is because you were doing these nerve fiber buildup exercises with all those breaths, with all those sounds. And so it really did amp it up quite a bit. And you saw that there was power there. And so, you know, that's why you chased it for as long as you did. But you know, once you realize that, you know, it doesn't matter how many years you go in there, it's a limited venue, isn't it? You're just not going to go past certain plateaus going that way, are you?
No, you won't. And when you hit a plateau, I mean, that's the extent. It's like this. If your body can handle 100 pounds of pressure, and that's it, if that's all you can handle, and you're pushing, you're going to hit that plateau. And you're going to think, well, I've hit a plateau. What's wrong? I got to push harder and harder, but your limit's 100 pounds. Well, it's going to be overkill. You know, you're going to do some bad damage to yourself, or you're just going to go away. I mean, that's just too much. I mean, I've been there. I've been to the pinnacle, to the apex of this pressure, of this yang state. That, like I said before, it affected every every area of my life, every last area of my life. And that's why I'm glad that I learned from you to be yin, the importance of this yin. I don't regret being so yang. I never look back with regret. It has actually carried me to this point where I needed to become yin to realize the ultimate power, the unlimited power, you know.
Well, and it is in your case. Like, I mean, now you can go this side knowing that you exhausted that other side and that you're not missing anything. You know where that other side leads. That's why you're on this side. And now since you are, you're actually gaining more, you know, you're moving faster now than you ever have, haven't you?
Yes. In terms of speed physically, speed mentally, speed in terms of getting where I need to go financially, everything is on the up and up. I just got a building for a school last week without any effort on my part, which should be opening soon. And there are many other benefits of this yin state. And because I was yang, and I look back and I see, you know, very clearly how I was, how it affected me, I want to show people and teach people it doesn't have to be that way. Really, it really doesn't. You know, I would prefer people just really learn how to be yin from the get-go without having to go through what I went through. Hundreds of teachers, that's an exaggeration, but many teachers, many methods, and many heartaches. So, you know, I just really want people to just embrace this method. You know, trust it. Just really give it a chance. Trust it. Believe it. Have faith, and the results will truly follow. They just have to give it a chance.
And between you and me, it sure does feel better than on that yang side. I mean, there are just days you don't even want to get up on that yang side. And on the yin side, you can't wait for the morning. I mean, it's always cool, isn't it?
Yes, it is cool. I mean, on the yin side, you know, really, it feels like you need less sleep. You don't need to eat as much. You have a ton of energy, inexhaustible. Go, 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 not tired.
And you're just so happier, too, I mean, because you're finally getting along with everybody, too. I mean, it's just like you don't have an argument all the time waiting for you, you know. You come home, and somebody's there waiting for you to come home and happy that you're home. And it's, like, so cool compared to the way the side does you, huh?
It is cool. I mean, even going into the grocery stores, and of course, a register worker at a grocery store has a pretty hectic day. But, you know, when you're in the yin state and you get right there and you're ready to check out, it's like all of a sudden there's this light bulb that lights up inside that person, and that right there is a really rewarding thing. I mean, to see how your way or your way of being inside your yin state, this happy feelings radiating outward and touching other people, that feels wonderful, you know.
Yeah, it really does feel so much better than being, like, drawn to you rather than being scared of you because you walk by, you know. And that's really, you know, how stark differences between a yin and yang state can be, isn't it?
It is. And when I was very yang, when I'd be around people, it was an unconscious thing, but they would get very sick in the stomach. They couldn't be around me. They'd develop headaches, faint feeling. But now, when a person has a headache, when they're around me, the headache goes away almost instantly. People with joint pains, no more joint pains. Things, very miraculous things happen as a result of being yin. And they sort of take a part of it with them for their day. And that's, I guess, on my part, that's me giving, you know, not expecting to receive.
Yeah, and the cool thing about that, now that you're doing this stuff in such a circular way, like, you know, that we've, you know, been doing it in this method, you don't really lose that energy. It's just like always rotating back towards you, and it's just like you're always generating more, just like a generator, aren't you?
It is. That's how it's happening. It's every step I take, I lose nothing. And it's not that I'm losing or gaining. It's just a constant cycle. It's a constant input-outflow. It's constant. It doesn't leave. I don't feel fatigued. It's just a constant thing. It's really hard to explain, but it's like it's perpetual. It's forever. I can hike. I can go for walks, 12 to 16 mile walks, and everything is fine. No pain, no nothing, no exhaustion, no short of breath, no nothing. It's happy, it's expanded, it's wonderful.
Yeah, it's amazing what she will allow you to do, you know, and it, you know, it comes in so many shapes and sizes, you know, the way we do this stuff. But, you know, with you get a good method of Qigong, and I think we got one of the best going right now. I mean, it is a case that you can kind of, you know, plan your day. You can plan your time. This is not going to be a painful experience for most people if they do it the way we say. And yet, Qigong can be a very painful experience if you don't do it that way, huh?
It can be painful, especially when you strain and stress and think you have to get in these very low postures and, you know, you think you have to sweat real hard and tough it out and, you know, tense up or even without tensing, you know, breath retention and all those things can cause problems. You know, doing it in this yin way, this is the key. And I want to mention that I have a library that a lot of people would be envious of, but I have every book that's ever been written on the subject of energy work. I have DVDs and videos. I have everything because I'm a researcher too. You know, I like
a
to research the
researcher, right?
That's right. So I have all this stuff, which at some point I'm going to give away because I don't need it anymore. And like I said, I've researched every method, and I have methods that I research that are not known to the public. That are not known to the public. But these methods are really nothing compared to the way your course is structured. I mean, I'm not saying that to try to draw in more people, you know, for any type of benefit, but that's the truth. I mean, I've been through it all. I've read every book. I've watched every DVD. I've talked to every person that's out there with a name. You know, it's different. This system is totally different. It's way different. So,
yeah, it is pretty cool that you can get these kind of results because we really are lining them up to the way the electricity actually runs and not doing them so much like a physical education type exercise like most people actually do out there. But, you know, hey, thanks for coming on today, Charles, and letting us you know, hear you talk because, I mean, I know you've, you know, worked out with some of the world's best martial artists, people that, you know, do the energy work and chi. And, you know, to get a different perspective, of, you know, for people who've just got into this and they don't even know half these people, you know, if they do any research, they'll definitely know, like, the people you brought up because they've been written up in magazines, they got books out. I mean, they're pretty famous people, and you've actually gone out, you've trained with these people, you've worked out with them, you know, and so it's kind of cool to, you know, to get a different perspective of somebody like you since, like, the majority of people aren't going to be able to do something like that where, you know, you've actually done the time, you've been fanatical enough to, you know, to get out there and do some of this kind of stuff. So, you know, I think your unique way of looking at martial arts and Qigong is, you know, something that, you know, these people would have liked to hear and are, you know, getting the benefit of, you know, your knowledge now. And that's really what I wanted the Inner Circle members to kind of hear is, like, from your perspective, because you have gone through all that stuff and you have gotten these type of results. And, you know, you can look at, you know, both methods and say, hey, you know, you guys are doing a pretty good method here. So, you know, press on with it, right?
Mm-hmm.
So thanks for coming on.